If you're up against overwhelming circumstances and impossible situations, then you're just in the right place to express faith and to see God do something great. Next on Daily in the Word, we're going to study with Paul Chappell, Journeys of Faith. Life is absolutely and undeniably a journey of faith. Every single human being on the planet lives by faith. It's the object of the faith that differs. Every day you express faith, you place your faith in people and circumstances and things all around you. Life is designed by God to be a journey of faith. And when you come up against difficult situations, God wants you to turn to Him, to obey Him, to submit and yield to what He's doing in your life. And it's in that journey that you discover you can trust Him. Welcome to Daily in the Word. I'm Kerry Schmidt, your host, and this program features the teaching and preaching of Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Today we study Journeys of Faith, and you're going to be equipped and challenged in your walk with God. Before we join today's message, I want to invite you to visit us at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org for a host of resources that will help you and encourage you in your spiritual growth. Today we're looking at 1 Samuel chapter 18, the journey to Zion. Here's Paul Chappell.
But if you'll come to me, I'll show you the way out. I'll show you the way to victory. And David encouraged himself in the Lord. He came to that place where he said, Lord, I don't understand. I don't know what to do. And God encouraged David's heart. Well, we see David's great trial. I don't know what your trial is. I don't know if someone at work is jealous of your success. I don't know if someone in your family is upset about your faith. I don't know exactly what you might be experiencing today, but I know that God will make a way of escape if you will seek His face. Notice secondly this morning, not only David's great, great trial, but I want you to see that good Christians also can have great temptations. Great trials and great temptations. Now to see the great temptation in David's life, turn if you would to 2 Samuel chapter 11 and verse 1. 2 Samuel chapter 11. And as we survey David's life briefly this morning, I want you to hear from the Word of God one of the saddest days in Bible history. 2 Samuel 11, 1. And it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah, but David tarried still at Jerusalem. Please mark those words in your Bible. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, "Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" And David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. And the woman conceived and sent and told David and said, "I am with child." Now, here we come to a place in David's life where, having seen God's power to rescue him from trials, he's now going to come to this place where his rulership is established in Jerusalem. God has been blessing his life. And while sometimes the difficulties come during the challenges and the discouraging times, sometimes trials come during the discouraging times, we're going to see here the temptations may come during the blessed times. Notice, if you would, David's lapse. David's lapse. The Bible says something in verse 1 that all of us need to note. It says, "But David tarried still at Jerusalem." Would you say that with me, please? "But David tarried still at Jerusalem." You see, it was at the time every year where the kings and the nations would go to war. Kind of interesting. Even in these days, military strategists will study weather patterns, and they want to do battle at the right time of the year. And in these Bible times, they would do battle during the spring and in the fall. Winter was too cold, summer was too hot. Makes sense to me. It was the time when they would go to battle. And yet, the Bible says that David, instead of doing his normal duty, the Bible says David tarried still at Jerusalem. When we are out of the way of our duty, we are in the way of temptation. When we are out of the way of our duty, we are in the way of temptation. In other words, God has a pattern for your life and mine that is to be blessed, a pattern that He will give success to. And that pattern must be followed. And I think we see here a tremendous lesson, and that is that we will be less likely to have lapses in our life when we stay faithful to the calling of God upon our life. God has called us to be faithful soldiers and faithful servants. God has called us to be faithful to His house. We're coming to the end of the summer. I think it's a good thing to get back on schedule. It's a good thing to get the kids in school. It's a good thing to stay in the Word of God. It's a good thing to read and pray each and every day. It's a good thing to be in our adult Bible classes. Why? Because when you lapse in those basic aspects of the Christian walk, you are more susceptible to what we're about to study in the Word of God. David's lapse, that led him, secondly, to David's lust. Notice, if you would, in verse 2. It came to pass in the evening time that David arose from his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. You see, idleness gives great advantage to the devil. Standing waters oftentimes gather filth, Matthew Henry said. And the bed of sloth often proves to be the bed of lust. Just laying around the house, nothing better to do. Just laying around the house, he should have been at work, maybe should have been at church, maybe should have been doing something else, but idleness is the devil's. I'll just flip on the computer and surf a while. I've seen it dozens of times where people develop relationships over the so-called innocent internet that utterly destroy families. Idleness, many times, is the devil's workshop. And now we see how this lust takes hold. First of all, we see his look. He sees a woman washing herself, similar to the sin of Eve, who saw the fruit and said that it looked good and it was tempting to her. And David looked, and then we see not only his look, we see his lust. We see David now looking with a prolonged gaze. He did not follow the admonition that we hear in 1 Timothy where the Bible says, flee youthful lust. He didn't look and then look away, but he looked and he gazed. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Gentlemen, take note, we are preaching this morning about every man's battle, not just David's. And David looked with a prolonged look, and what David did would bring harm to his family for generations. We see his look and we see his lust, but what amazes me is his pride. When we look here in the Word of God, we see David in the position as the king now, inquiring of the woman, and he sends messengers for the woman, and someone says, isn't this the wife of Uriah the Hittite? It wasn't as though he did not have warning, and yet he called for her. He was filled with pride when he said, I will do this sin. And my friend, at the root of all sin is pride and rationalization. And I've heard it in many ways. Men say, well, I'm just not having my needs met, or she just doesn't understand, or it's just the way people are these days. It doesn't matter what your rationalization is. It is always based in pride, and sin, destructive sin, is the result. Gary Richmond is a zookeeper who wrote a little article about raccoons. Gary said that when raccoons become 24 months old, there's a glandular change within them, so that instead of being these little playful, fuzzy animals, they will oftentimes strike at people without any particular notice or without any particular reason. And he said that a 30-pound raccoon can be more vicious than a 100-pound dog in fighting. And he had a friend, and her name was Julie, and Julie had a little raccoon, and she just loved this raccoon. It was her pet, and he felt he should share his wisdom with Julie. He said, Julie, you know, that raccoon is just about to the age now where it could really become a danger to you. And Julie looked at Gary and said, oh, it will be different for me. Bandit would never hurt me. Well, Gary did what he could to try to explain it to her, but she wouldn't listen. 3 months later, Gary went to visit Julie at the hospital where she had just undergone plastic surgery for the facial laceration she received from her pet raccoon, where she said, "It will be different with me." You know, a lot of times you try to talk to somebody, you'll say, "Hey, the Bible says be not unequally yoked together, and I want to encourage you, if you date that unsaved guy, you may get hurt. I want to encourage you, the Bible speaks about looking at the alcohol when it moves itself right in the glass. I want to remind you that you might want to move away from that. Just want to be a blessing. By the way, you might want to get a filter for your internet. You know, there's a lot of families that have been ruined by it. And a lot of times people have the same response of Julie. They say, "Oh, it'll never happen to me." You see. But in pride, they go on their way. They disregard the counsel. Someone said, "Hey, David, isn't that Uriah's wife?" But David's pride led him to the place of great sin. We see David's lapse and we see David's lust. But I want you to notice, thirdly, David's losses. What a tragedy that David had such great losses. We could spend the rest of this day, not this hour, the rest of this day preaching about all of the tragic losses that come into David's life from this point forward. You see, he had had trials before. Everyone has trials. But now he is going to have tremendous loss in his life. The first and greatest loss is his fellowship with the Lord. The Bible says in 2 Samuel 11:27 that what David had done displeased the Lord. Now listen very carefully. Some of you are new in the Lord. We did not say that David lost his salvation. How many of you thank God that when you're saved, you're sealed by the Holy Spirit of God? And we thank God for His grace. But the Bible says, concerning the grace of God, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" And what's the answer to that? God forbid. Look it, just because you're forgiven doesn't mean you have a license to go sin. And we see that David, while he did not lose his salvation, he displeased the Lord. I hope you've come to the place as a Christian where you would say, "I want the Lord to be pleased with my life." David displeased the Lord. He lost fellowship with the Lord. Secondly, we see the following of his family was lost. You read down through the text, you begin to realize the death of the infant that was conceived of David and Bathsheba died. Amnon, David's son, then committed rape against Tamar, and then Amnon was killed by Absalom. Then we read in the scripture that Absalom was killed by Joab, and David's nephew Amasa was killed by Joab, and it seems like there's one murder, after another death, after another tragedy since the time of David's sin. Mark it down. There are scars that come with sin. David's great trial was one difficulty. But David's great temptation brought a sea of difficulty to his life. Now let's look finally at David's triumph. How does someone recover from this moral type of failure or from sin and the consequences of sin? Well, I want you to turn to 2 Samuel chapter 12, and I want you to see this morning a righteous confrontation. You see, whenever someone sins, and by the way, lest we look at David's great sin and go, "Wow, that's really bad." How many of you would honestly say, "Pastor Chapel, there have been times in my life when the Lord said, don't do that, or the Lord said, do this, and I sinned against the Lord." And when you have been in a time of disobedience in your life, how do you recover and get back to that place of fellowship that God has designed? Well, we see a righteous confrontation. And I want you to notice just quickly here, he is confronted by a prophet named Nathan. And let me say to you that when God brings a pastor to preach a message or a teacher to give a lesson or a friend to give a word of encouragement and you're not right with God, you are unwise to resent that visit. Nathan was not coming with a spirit necessarily to condemn, but with the spirit to cause David to be confronted with what he had actually done. And in 2 Samuel chapter 12, the Bible says in verse 7, "And Nathan said to David, thou art the man." Would you say those words with me? Thou art. Now let me tell you what happens in chapter 12. Nathan comes, he says, "David, I want to tell you a story. There was a very wealthy man. He had lots and lots of sheep. And there was a man next door to him who was a very poor man. He had one lamb. Someone came by to the rich man, and he had need. And so the rich man took the one lamb of the poor man and gave it to the man in need. King David said, "Why?" He said to the prophet Nathan, he said, "That man's life should be taken, and he should repay that debt fourfold. And whoever did that is a terrible, terrible man." And Nathan said, "David, you're the man." He said, "Uriah had but one great possession in life, and it was Bathsheba. David, you had the whole kingdom. You had anything God would ever have given to you. All you had to do was ask, David, but you had to take the one thing that Uriah had. David, thou art the man." No one will ever be restored to fellowship with God until they realize that they are the man. I'm the one that sinned. I'm the one that did what I should not do. There's a confrontation. God sent Nathan to bring it about. 2 Samuel 12 and verse 14, the Bible says, "Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast been given great occasion, thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme." Look at Nathan, the man of God, says, "David, because of your sin, the pagans all around us are laughing at our God." By the way, folks, have you come to the place to realize that when we as Christians are not honest in our business and when we fail in immorality, or when we have a temper and cuss at work, or whatever it is, have you come to the place to realize that the name of Christ is hurt? Does that matter to any Christians anymore? You see? I remember vividly when I first came here to pastor years ago, there was a televangelist failure. And after that televangelist failure, when I would go out and knock on doors and talk to people about Jesus, the reception was quite different. And that's what Nathan's saying. He's saying, "Nathan, saying, David, don't you realize that what you've done is it's hurt the name of God everywhere?" David had to be confronted with that. Many men are like, rationalize, "Well, you know, it's just the way it is, just what I did. It's just one of those things that happened, you know. The devil made me do it, ha ha." No, no. Nathan said, "Let's be real about this, David. You have sinned. You need to face your sin. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." And so we see a righteous confrontation. And when there is failure in our life, there must be confrontation. It's not something to reject. It's something to expect. But notice, secondly, we see a real confession. You see, there's going to be no triumph in David's life again unless he confesses and makes this right with God. And the Bible says in 2 Samuel 12, 13, "And David said unto Nathan," listen to this, "I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die." Did you see that? "The Lord also hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die." How many of you thank God for His mercy? 1 John 1, 9, "If we confess our sin," the Bible says to him, "He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And how we thank God for that. But David had to come to that place of saying, "I have sinned against the Lord." In Psalm 51, we read his entire prayer of confession. Psalm 51 and verse 3, David says, "For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest." You see, when a man gets to that place and he says, "I'm the man, and I've sinned against God, and I know it's wrong," then God can forgive, and then God can restore, and then you can go on and serve the Lord in some measure. But I say to you this morning that until you get honest with God, you're playing a game. The Bible says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." Your prayers don't get any higher than that ceiling. So what are you going to do? Keep playing around with the internet or keep living in immorality? Or are you going to get right with God and get back to relationship with God today? You see, a righteous confrontation, which brought about a real confession. Not one of these things where he was sorry he got caught, but where he truly confessed his sin. And then notice, thirdly, a restored kingdom. Now, to be sure, the kingdom had problems that it did not have before. And to be sure, a family will have problems. I've had to counsel single mothers whose 8-year-olds would not stop wetting the bed and could not pay attention in school because he wanted to know where daddy was because he's with the other woman. Sin always leaves problems. But thank God that when David got right with God, he was restored back to a place of usefulness. Perhaps not to the degree that he may have been used at one time, but I've got good news for you. Say, Pastor Chapel, I've messed up. Hey, I'm not preaching against you. I'm just simply saying, get honest before God, and when you do, God can use you in some way again. And that's what he did with David. David said in chapter 22 and verse 1, he spake the words of the Lord, this song, and the day of the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. The God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. He came to the place toward the end of his life where he received once again the grace of God. He saw once again the power of God in his life. He said, I will call on the Lord who is worthy to be praised. David was not able to build the temple, but David was able to help get some things ready so the temple could be built. And maybe you say, boy, I've had some great sin in my life. I've messed some things up. Look, we're not against you this morning. I want to tell you something. There's something you can get ready. There's something you can do. There's someone you can help. But don't live the lie. Be honest before God. David had to make things right. I want to tell you this morning, in your trial, when it seems like someone's trying to throw that javelin at you, maybe a member of your own family standing against you, let me encourage you this morning. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. And God says, I will make an escape for you. David encouraged himself in the Lord. Hey, in the time of temptation, look away, flee. You say, but I've messed up. Then repent and say, Lord, I'm the man. I want to get things right today. I want to come back to you. Oh, there may be someone here. You say, Pastor Chapel, I don't even know the Lord. I mean, the 23rd Psalm, David said, the Lord is my... David knew the Lord. He said, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord for how long? Do you know that if you died today, you would spend eternity with the Lord? Someone might say, I don't know. I don't know that I would go to heaven when I die. I mean, I don't know what David knew. I'd like to, but I don't. Well, I've got good news for you. The Bible says, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I don't know how you've messed up, but I know this. God loves you and Jesus died for you and his blood washes your sins away. But you've got to come today and say, Lord, I'm the man. I need to be saved. I'm the woman. I need to be saved. And when you come, he won't cast you out. He'll receive you like the prodigal's father received him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this study of David's life. And we see that a man or a woman who has a heart for you will still have trials and temptations.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word, featuring the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chapel, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California, studying currently a series entitled Journeys for the Faith. And friend, your faith journey begins when you come to Jesus Christ in faith. When you come to Him alone as your Savior and receive Him into your heart and life. And friend, if you've never made that decision, we hope you'll make that decision today to let go of religion, to let go of your own goodness, and to trust Christ alone. Invite Him into your heart and life. Confess that you need a Savior and place 100% of your faith in Him for salvation. He will answer that prayer. He will save you, and He will come into your life and begin to change you from the inside out. Before we close out this edition of Daily in the Word, I want to invite you to contact us if we can help you understand salvation more, or if we can provide you with any of the resources that we've mentioned on the program. You can call us toll-free at 1-800-201-7748. Once again, that's 1-800-201-7748. You can find out more about Pastor Chapel and the ministry of Daily in the Word when you visit dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. I do want to encourage you to be sure to pick up a copy of Dr. Chapel's newest book, The Burden Bearer. This book is about 150 pages of the most powerful encouragement that I personally have ever read in my Christian life. It's an allegory that powerfully applies biblical principles, and it will help you understand what a relationship with Jesus Christ does in bringing rest and encouragement to your heart. It's again entitled The Burden Bearer. You can find out more about it when you visit again, dailyintheword.org. And don't forget, Dr. Chappell invites you to join him and lots of Christian friends from all across the country on the Alaska Cruise, August 9th through the 16th of 2014. Once again, August 9th through the 16th, visit dailyintheword.org. Click on the Alaska Cruise link to find out more about this exciting adventure. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.